Lights, cameras,
action!
Are you ready to go on a voyage of intellectual self-discovery?
Grape Encounters.
Grape Encounters.
Grape Encounters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Grape Encounters Radio. It's David Wilson here, and I am particularly happy about the group that I've got assembled for today's show. You know, along the Grape Encounters trail, we've met a whole lot of people over the past couple of years, but some of my favorites have joined me today, and still other favorites will be on in the second half of the show. The whole theme of the show today is your very first experience. Everybody's going, what are you talking about, Dave? Well, I'm talking about your very first wine experience, when you fell in love with wine. And boy, oh boy, have I got some interesting guys on the line. First of all, whenever you talk about your first experience, you're never going to leave out the gadget guru, Matt Dubow of Epic Style. Also, our beloved sponsor of Grape Encounters Radio, Matt.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You are in good company, Matt. Because sitting here in the studio, we have world-renowned chef Sean O'Connell. He is currently at the Blue Ember restaurant at Rancho Las Palmas and Rancho Mirage. But Sean was the chef that opened up the Bellagio. You had, what, 1,100 chefs underneath you?
We opened with 1,100, yes.
Holy smoke! He also was the head chef at the Hotel Mandarin Oriental in Hong Kong. Maybe the best hotel in the world, and lots of other interesting places. And he's got some news to announce today. And then another superstar in his own right, it is Paul Cullen, formerly bass player for Bad Company for 5 years, turned winemaker, turned Latin jazz artist, lives in Delaware, but all of us kind of come together in certain ways here, and we'll tell you about that in just a second. Welcome, everybody, and hey, welcome, Paul. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, David. Thanks for having me.
First of all, I do want to say this. It's real interesting. Paul is making wines. You're making wines in California, but you're mostly selling those wines on the East Coast. You're back in Delaware, but thanks to everybody that's around this table, Paul is coming to California.
California.
You know, I didn't know that we would ever do this. But first, thank you to Matt for supporting Grape Encounters, because we wouldn't have been able to get a big star like this without you, Matt.
I wish I had something to do with it.
Paul, I forgot to tell you that Matt has demanded guitar lessons.
Oh, hey, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Yep.
Very good. Anyway, so what we were talking about, we thought, you know, wouldn't it be nice to just have a cross-continental coming together of all of this talent? So Paul's going to come out here on the 28th, and we're going to be at the Blue Ember restaurant. Sean, you've put together something terrific there.
Well, we have an excellent terrace called Sunrise Terrace. It overlooks the Fifth Fairway, and we're going to take a different approach to our wine dinner series here, and we're doing a more relaxed approach to this event. And it's all going to center around Paul Cullen and the Sonata wines. We're going to put him center stage, and we're going to surround him with chefs and food.
Paul, what do you think?
Wow. I'm blown away, and I appreciate that. I like that more relaxed sort of event where it's not so stuffy and everybody's sitting down and 9 courses and 9 wines. I'd rather it be more fun. It certainly sounds like it's going to be.
Well, all 1,100 of those former guys that worked for Chef over at Bellagio are going to be waiting on the tables too as well.
Nice.
Or maybe not. Matt, you know you can't miss this.
I know. I'm going to really try to make it down there.
Well, listen, guys, I want everybody to come, and you can certainly call Blue Ember Restaurant. And listen, it is not unthinkable. If you're hearing this show outside of California, you can still come to this event, because it's going to be in Rancho Mirage, and people come from all over the world. In fact, this week, everybody's coming here for Coachella Fest. And as I understand it, they come, literally, they come from all corners of the planet, don't they?
They do, yes. And then we got 2 weekends for Coachella Fest, and then they wrap it up with a 3rd weekend for Stagecoach.
And you know what? I saw the lineup for Coachella Fest, and it's nothing compared to the lineup that we have as far as food and wine and entertainment. So I think this is definitely the event to go to. And heck, if you're going to Coachella Fest, just pop over here too and check it out. But today, guys, I wanted to talk to you about your first wine experiences, because as I think I told each of you individually, when we were doing our trip out to Paso Robles a couple of weeks ago, I was able to catch up with my mentor, the person who first got me interested in wine 30 plus years ago, Dr. Stan Hoffman. Now, Stan was not a legend at that time because he was the first guy to really have a legitimate fine winery in the Paso Robles area. But it turns out he wound up being the pioneer, wound up being a legend. He's 91 years old today. I got a chance to go meet him. It was such a privilege. And I'm going to actually, a little bit later on, play that recording. And that all came out of a luncheon that we had in Templeton, California. And there was somebody there who was like a son to Dr. Hoffman. So he made it happen. So both that luncheon and that conversation we're going to get into a little bit later on Grape Encounters. But how about you guys? Matt,
yes.
You literally grew up in the wine business, but at a different end of the spectrum because your parents were making these products. It started with the Tip Top. Is that what first got you interested?
Well, I actually had some friends, Italian friends, who would always have Chianti on the table. And that's where I think I was first exposed to wine. Was the Stefano's.
A chef is grinning right now. I wish you could see the grin on his face. Do you have a little Chianti experience yourself, Chef?
No, but I'm just thinking about the family approach to it.
Did you have wine on the table in your family?
Well, I was actually born and raised in Europe, and Germany was the first country that I really lived in. And yes, the Germans are all about the wine. We were doing Gerstamer and Rieslings.
And how old were you when you were allowed to drink your first wines?
7, 8, 9 years old.
And they didn't frown on that there, did they?
No, it wasn't. I wouldn't have a whole glass. It would just be like a sip here and there. But yeah, by the time I was 10, 11, 12, I was having a glass.
Matt, how about you? You were drinking Chianti at what age?
Oh, God, this was in my late teens, I think it was. You know, I'd go over there for dinner, and they'd have the bottle of Chianti on the table, and that's where I was first exposed to wine.
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Matt, why don't I believe you? I don't know. I always picture you with a beer in your hand at 8 years old. I don't know.
Well, we're talking about wine. We're not talking about other spirits.
All right. When did you have your first beer?
Oh, I don't know if you really want to get into that story, but from what I was told, my mom and I used to watch Soul Train and drink Coors.
And Paul Cullen, you were not a wine drinker, but you're aboard the luxury coach with Bad Company. What happens?
Well, one night we were doing an overnighter, and I think it was from Sioux City, North Dakota to Salt Lake City, Utah. And it just happened to be me and Mick Ralph, the guitar player, in the back of the bus hanging out, chatting, and he pulled out a bottle of Châteauneuf du Pape. And then I've been a huge fan ever since.
And so did you drink Châteauneuf du Pape for quite a while, or when did you start getting into other things?
Yeah, he had a whole case on there. So anytime it was me and him in the back of the bus, you know, everybody else was sleeping or not on the bus, I would make sure that he pulled the bottle out. So, yeah, we drank the whole case within about a week. So, yeah, that was really my second experience. My first was Chianti also, and because my grandparents are full-blooded Italian, and my grandfather at 8 or 9 years old, turned me on to Chianti. Of course, I didn't like it right away. Although, when my grandma was cooking a fabulous dinner, that's mainly when we drank it. But yeah, the Chianti was my first also.
Chef, it really does make a difference, right? If you try to drink Chianti on its own versus with a great big pot of Mustachales, big difference, right?
Yes. Yes, it's not really the great wine to sit there and drink by itself, but with food, it's amazing.
Yeah, it has to go with food. Now, going back to Matt for a second, so your parents invent one of the most significant inventions or wine accessories ever. Tell us about that and how that got the ball rolling and how you really got deeply involved in wine after that.
Well, what they did, the first item was the Tip Top, and it's a stopper that you can put into a bottle that you can pour and store. So you can turn the top of it and pour and turn it back clockwise and store it on its side. And they had that one product thing we're selling to all the wineries around the country, and we kind of grew from there with many items, and now we have over 1,500 different items, which has allowed me to go to so many different wineries. And probably my first experience with a major winery was Stonehouse Winery in Missouri. And
yeah. Which, by the way, is a place we got to get out to because I hear amazing things about it, but we haven't been there yet.
It is an amazing place, and it's out in the middle of nowhere in Missouri. But what a great winery and what a great family the Held family is. And I know I was, 21, 22 years old going out there, and they're very proud of their wine. And I tasted every single wine they had, and, oh, man, I was so buzzed trying to – sell corkscrews to them. It was crazy.
We don't condone that kind of behavior here. We are talking to Matt Dubow, the gadget guru from EpicStyle.com. Chef Sean O'Connell, world-renowned chef, currently at Blue Ember, but he's going to be moving, and we'll tell you about that in just a moment. And former Bad Company guitarist Paul Cullen, now a winemaker, now a Latin jazz music maker, and he's going to join us out here in Rancho Mirage, California, and we're going to put together everybody's talents into one great, big, wonderful event on the 28th of April at 7:30. So you can just call Blue Ember Restaurant if you want to come out. More Grape Encounters in just a second.
A meal without wine is like a day without sunshine. Except on a day without sunshine, you can still enjoy wine. A little food for thought. Compliments of Grape Encounters Radio.
Lots of wineries talk about growing great grapes. This winery talks about growing great wines. Sarlos & Sons in Los Olivos, California, grows great wine, period. This family winemaking operation doesn't have a traditional mission statement. They have a family creed. Live to honor those that come before us and prepare the way for those yet to come. It's with this sense of pride that Sarlos & Sons grows great wine. Grapes growing in the shadow of the farmer ensures the highest quality of grapes are used in Sarlos & Sons wines. Check them out at sarlosandsons.com and also be sure to check out their once-in-a-lifetime wines. Sarlos & Sons is a dream coming true, and they can help make your dreams come true with their exclusive once-in-a-lifetime wines, which commemorate those unrepeatable, unforgettable moments in your life. Learn more about this and more at sarlosandsons.com. That's S-A-A-R-L-O-O-S and sons.com.
We are so fortunate on Grape Encounters Radio to have some incredible authors of books related to wine on the show. But there are two books that I really have a soft spot in my heart for. The first one is a book that just came out. It's called Yard Wine. It's a neighborly thing written by Nancy Roddy and Kathy Larson. Oh my gosh, if you want to know how to bring your neighborhood together using a bottle of wine and your front porch, then pick up a copy of Yard Wine. You'll find the link at grapeencounters.com. Now, another book that I've got a real soft spot for is Tom Silberkleid's California Directory of Fine Wineries. There is no better wine-related travel book than the California Directory of Fine Wineries. Absolutely spectacular photographs, great information. This book will make you salivate more than a great Cabernet Sauvignon. You'll find a link to Tom's book also on grapeencounters.com. Check out the reading material at grapeencounters.com. David Wilson with Grape Encounters Radio, and in one form or another, we've got some of my favorite people on. It's just a roundtable discussion talking about our very first experiences, you know, not with a significant other, but with wine, which is a significant other that will never let you down, will it, Chef Sean O'Connell?
No, it won't. It only drives your passion further.
Are you a big wine lover?
I am. And, you know, I found my passion for wine in Bali, of all places.
In Bali?
Yeah, I worked for GHM out there at the Legion Resort, and we used to do quite a bit of Australian wine events, and we would bring the Australian shots. So one time we did a Margaret River event, and we had Voyager and Lou and Estates and Sandalford, and it was just amazing to have these four great vineyards there on the beach watching the sunset and just pairing food with it. And it was just, that's what really kind of clinched it for me, and I started changing.
I got to tell you, the kind of food that Sean prepares is absolutely unbelievable. And here's the announcement for those of you who are on the East Coast and listening to us. Sean, you're moving.
I am. My company is relocating me. We have several resorts on the East Coast. One of them notably is the Homestead, Virginia, actually, in Hot Springs. And I'll be relocating there at the end of April.
And Paul, you'd be able to get down there for that too, wouldn't you?
Oh, nice. I'm not that far from there. I'm in Delaware.
You could play every Saturday night, Paul Cullen.
I'm in.
Paul Cullen, of course, a former bass player for Bad Company, and now has wines called Uncorked and Unplugged, and has created all kinds of really cool Latin jazz that pairs with that wine. Hey, our gadget guru, I know you are a Bad Company fan.
Yes.
What kind of music do you listen to now, Matt?
I listen to a variety of music.
All of you guys believe in pairing wine and music.
Oh, yeah.
And Matt, that's something that we need to concentrate on over at Epic Style, is we need to have a whole collection of music that goes with every different wine imaginable.
Well, I know we talked about it a little bit, but we probably need to go a little bit more in depth.
Let's talk corkscrews for a second. I was really curious about this because everybody has a different preference when it comes to corkscrews, and I kind of wanted to go around. Matt, your favorite corkscrew requires batteries, or at least has to be charged up, right?
Yes, I love our electric corkscrew. So easy to use. I have given it to so many friends. It just works great for everybody.
Is that a testosterone thing that you just feels like you've got a power tool in your hand?
For me, yes. For the women, I don't know about that.
We're not going there. And how about you, Paul?
My wines all have caps on them, so I don't need one. But if I did, I would have that one that Matt uses.
You would have that one.
I'll send you one.
All right, cool.
Well, just bring him one. You're going to be here now, Matt. But what's with the screw-on caps, Paul? I mean, seriously, I know the wines are great, and I know there are a lot of great wines with screw-on caps, but what'd you go do that for?
Well, you know what? As a business person, for one thing, I don't like losing up to 10% of my wine because of bad corks. But I like the ease of it all. You know, I want people to take my wines, even though they're not cheap wines, but I want them to take them on picnics with them, and I want to make it really easy for them to open and pour and sip.
You realize, of course, that hurt Matt's business when you do that.
I know. Maybe that's the new thing. Maybe we need to figure out the cool way to open a screw cap.
Matt, is there a corkscrew to take off a screw cap?
You can use your hand.
I've seen people run it along their arm and grab the cap and their hand, you know, run it right across their forearm and catch the cap.
Chef that's Sean O'Connell, cool. Corkscrew of choice.
I like a corkscrew with a traditional lever action.
You like the simple, basic corkscrew?
I do.
Waiter's
I like
friend,
to go through
right?
the motion of peeling the label back and going through it, yes.
You know what? Everybody hears you and they know you've got a very sexy voice. Is there a sexy way to remove a screw cap?
No, I haven't really given that much practice or thought.
That's something to definitely work on. Paul Cullen, that's something that you really need to work on, actually.
Well, you know what we could do? We could have a contest. We're going to do an after party, right, after our event. Maybe we'll have a contest and who can open it the sexiest.
Well, I would think that, you know, really the best way to do that would have somebody sexy open it.
I agree.
There you go.
Well, there was one, actually, sommelier. He takes the bottle and he actually rolls it down his arm and opens it as it rolls down his arm, and it's kind of a pretty cool thing. And he takes his shirt off and he greases up his hex. But that's kind of nice. Matt, have you discovered any methodology?
Let somebody else open it.
That's great. Okay, so would you guys all be in for a screw cap opening contest when we get down here?
Sure. I'm in.
Okay. And Matt, how are you with getting up on stage and singing maybe a Bad Company duet with Paul?
I think it's better if he does it alone.
Okay.
Maybe we could save that for the after party.
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah, because we're not going to have any microphones or anything. So it'll be okay.
Okay, so you guys are all going to stick around. I really want you to hear this interview with Dr. Stan Hoffman. And just really briefly, Stan Hoffman was a renowned cardiologist. He actually was the cardiologist to the Nixon family.
Well, I'm not a crook.
As a matter of fact, that made him just go up or down in some people's eyes, but he's a doctor. And he gave up doctoring and bought 1,400 acres, actually he traded for it in Paso Robles, put in a massive vineyard, first really amazing winery in the region, became a legend, but he got out of it. He's been out for decades now and has laid very low, and I finally got to catch up with him. But the cool part of the story is that he invited a carload of complete strangers, drinking age kids, to come up there and taught us all about wine. And that was our first experience. And I think all of us independently have learned a lot about wine from different people. Who was your biggest mentor, Chef?
Oh, I've had many, but I would have to say Sam Giorgio. He was a Greek guy that I knew in Arizona. It was just amazing, his demeanor and the way he approached life.
Matt Dubow, do you have one?
Oh, David Wilson.
Ah, the perfect answer. And Paul Cullen.
Well, sorry, Matt stole mine, but no. Steve Kogler, who owns Teller Wines right here in Lewis, Delaware, for about 10 years, he's been my go-to guy. Whenever I needed a wine, or if I was deciding to get into the wine business, he actually helped me out tremendously.
I do want to say that I know the last few weeks we talked a lot about California wines. We are coming east very soon, and we'll spend some time out there. As a matter of fact, I want to come east when Chef is out there, and we'll all get together there as well and party with our East Coast listeners. Matt, you want to go?
Sounds good.
Okay. Listen, everybody, you can check out Paul Cullen at paulcullen.net. You can get to Blue Ember through rancholaspalmas.com. And then, of course, everything that you could ever want, need, or desire at epicstyle.com. Hey, everybody, thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's Great to be here.
So we're now going to bust into that luncheon that led into the meeting with Dr. Stan Hoffman as we continue on Grape Encounters Radio.
Please keep your arms, legs, and other limbs inside at all times. But let your mind wander on your next grape encounter.
Tired of being caught unprepared? Want to be a good scout? That's what we thought. With Napkin by JNC Enterprises, you can be Johnny on the spot and be prepared for unexpected messes. The Napkin is one very clever product. These little beauties are barely the size of a small breath mint, but they come to life as a durable, convenient, and sturdy hand towel with just a few drops of water. You'll want to keep a supply of napkins everywhere you would keep a hand towel, paper towel, wash rag, or moist towelette. Napkin is all of these things in one very compact little tablet. Use it to wipe greasy hands, remove makeup, and even to entertain dinner guests. You never know when Napkin will come in handy. Get Napkin at NapkinJNC.com. It's completely eco-friendly and made of 100% recycled paper. Clean your environment and keep the environment clean with Napkin from NapkinJNC.com.
One of these days, I'm going to get in trouble for picking on pretentious people. Who knows, you know, I may go home one night, pull back the covers, and find a turned-up nose in my bed. Look, if you're a wine lover who really is put off by pretentiousness, if you want to discover more ways to have fun with fermented fruit, if you're always looking for new wine-related adventures and discoveries, then check out GrapeEncounters.com. GrapeEncounters.com has a huge library of audio adventures covering topics you're just not going to hear anyplace else. It's fun, fascinating, and it's free. Hey, there's something funny about this wine. So join us at the corner of fermented and demented. It's GrapeEncounters.com. Come on, give us a taste. When it comes to wine, it's the most fun that you can have without turning your feet purple. GrapeEncounters.com. It is David Wilson back with Grape Encounters Radio. You know, while we were doing our Central Coast, California series a few weeks back, I got together with some of the folks we had met on the trip at McPhee's Restaurant in Templeton, California. Little did I know that this landmark restaurant was made possible in part by the famed cardiologist turned winemaker who first got me interested in wine. In fact, we were sitting in a room dedicated to Stan and Terry Hoffman, founders of the very first and one of the greatest winemaking operations in the Paso Robles region. Today at 91, Dr. Hoffman and his wife Terry live a very pastoral life, but I truly wanted to shake his hand and say thanks. Here now is that lunch conversation, and what happened at the end is nothing short of amazing. Grape Encounters Radio, and we are now at McPhee's Restaurant in Templeton, and sitting around the table, we have, quite a crowd. First of all, Ian McPhee, who is the owner, founder, and namesake of the restaurant, and I learned some very interesting things about this place. Carl Wittstrom, who is one of the partners at Ancient Peaks. Neil Roberts, who has a very interesting story we're going to share with you, but now the owner of Clavo's Cellars and Roberts Vineyard Services, right? And Stacy Jacob, who's the executive director of the San Luis Obispo County Visitors and Convention Bureau. And that's it. Okay, but first, Ian, we're sitting in a room that I was shocked when you told me the name of the room. This is the
Stan and Terry Hoffman Room.
Okay, and anybody that's listened to Grape Encounters Radio knows that my biggest influence when it comes to wine was Dr. Stan Hoffman, who you say now is 91 years old.
91 years old.
And going strong.
Going strong.
And he helped you to finance this building. And
he was an original partner in the restaurant when we opened, and kind of a driving force for me, too, to leave Cambria and come over here. He made it easier and was very adamant that it was time for me to do that, too. So, you know, he's like my father.
So, Stacy, you had a special request for me last night, not even knowing any of this part of the story, right? What was it that I asked of you last night?
So you said if there was one wish that you had was to meet Stan Hoffman. And I know that the connection between Ian McPhee and Stan are very close. So I was so excited when Ian was able to sit down with us today and share some of the stories with you.
You totally kept that from me too.
you know, I have to keep some kind of tricks up my sleeve just to keep you on your toes.
Okay, so let's talk about McPhee's for a second. You've been here a long time now.
Well, let's not make it sound
You've been
like
here
that.
A long time now.
18 years.
Thank you very much. Okay. And I think the fun story about this place is that you have all these little local farmers and guys who have stuff growing in their backyard that show up at your back door and want to trade you mushrooms for food, right?
When I came over from Cambria and opened this restaurant, we were like the new guy, and we were doing stuff that nobody else was doing around the North County of San Luis Obispo. And I'd already over there set up a few families from the Paso Robles area that were bringing me vegetables or fruits or whatever. And after we got this thing rolling, then more and more people started, you know, and it was a beautiful thing because they show up with the fruits not picked and then brought here and we have to ripen it. It's like ready to go right now.
Yeah.
You know, so if we don't use it in 2 days, they're done.
On a pretentious level, from 1 to 10, where would you rate this area?
I don't know any of our guys in this area that are pretentious or...
So you're saying it's non-existent here?
People come in here all the time and say, why are you here? You know, why aren't you in Napa or why aren't you... And I say to them, because I can raise my family and live in this beautiful area. So I don't think any of the guys in this area feel that way. I think they're all just so happy to, you know, to raise their families and to have their life in this area.
All right, let's talk about wine for a second. And we have Carl Wittstrom here, one of the partners from Ancient Peaks. Talk about the wine at the table, because we got a bunch of it here.
Well, our signature wine is Oyster Ridge that comes from a very special part of the vineyard that was an ancient petrified seabed that's been uplifted by the collision of the tectonic plates some 5 to 7 million years ago. And I think Dave's going to talk to Neil Roberts, who was actually very much involved with planting the vineyards before we took control of them. But Oyster Ridge is a very special place. I brought some other wine, which is our very key varietals, Petit Verdot and Malbec in particular, that are raised on the Santa Margarita Ranch. And Neil is going to talk about those too, I think, as he sources a lot of his fruit for his brand there as well. But Margarita Vineyards is, just from an environmental perspective, is very, very unique. It's 14 miles from the coastline, and it just kind of tucked behind the Santa Lucia mountain range, which causes it to be one of the highest rainfall areas in the San Luis Obispo County.
Okay, so the property was planted originally by Robert Mondavi, and the guy that was commissioned to do that is sitting right here at the table.
He is.
Wow.
And
that's Neil Roberts. But not only did you do that, and I guess you have vineyard services as well, but you make your own wine as well.
And that's correct. And I'm very pleased that I'm still able to work with the vineyard and make wines. And Carl and I were just talking back and forth about the different wines that we're both making and how unique the terroir is there, the climate, the soils. You know, the wines there are kind of interesting because they got this, we call it funkiness, but I really think it's that kind of that soil and the climate there. It's a special place. It's the southernmost of the Appalachian here in Paso Robles, and it's, I mean, you were out there today.
But when you have 14,000 acres, you have a lot of different soil types, right?
Absolutely.
And a lot of different climates,
yeah,
microclimates,
and
right?
And I think when we originally developed the ranch, I mean, there was 28, 26 soil types just within the 800-plus acres that are on the property. So
now, you were a pretty young guy when you did that, right?
Well, yeah, and I'm, you know,
I'm not saying you're old now, but I mean, you were a pretty young guy, and did you just look
I'm a little older now, though.
Did you just look at Mr. Mondavi and go, what?
Well, they took a chance.
Huh?
They took a chance.
Why did they pick you?
Because I was lucky, and I don't know, I guess they had a lot of faith in us.
Good looks and great reputation.
Yeah, well, thanks.
Or you had Polaroids of Robert Mondavi that he didn't want to get on the internet that didn't exist at that time. Yeah,
the family had this philosophy, and I think it's a great philosophy that, you know, they're very environmentally conscious, and when they developed the property, they wanted to make sure that whatever we did that was going to be there after we left, which is now the partnership of Ancient Peaks, is that it's going to go on for a long time. And so that's what's happened.
Now, your wines, the Clavo wines, are also from fruit that's grown on that property.
Absolutely. We have two blends here. One's in
so they can't get rid of you.
Well, they could if they wanted to, but
well, why would they?
But they're, you know, we're great friends and we've known each other a long time.
So had it not been for Constellation Brands buying Robert Mondavi, things would not be as they are today.
The ranch would stuff. I would definitely feel that it would be still part of the Mondavi operation, and we would have made some fantastic wines, which fortunately all the other people that we know, Ancient Peaks and ourselves and other brands, have the opportunity to do now. So,
And Carl would have just continued with his nightclub act, right?
Instead. I didn't know he had one.
Well, give him one more glass of wine and you'll get to hear it.
All right.
Okay, so your wines can be found online?
That's correct.
And Ancient Peaks as well, right?
Yeah, Ancient Peaks is online as well. It's distributed in about 17 states right now and relatively widely distributed in California.
I said this a year and a half ago, and I'll say it now. Best value. I mean, really great wines for not very much money. It doesn't get better for the price, but really that's true of the whole region here, I think, too.
Well, and our winemaker is Mike Seiner.
Unpaid, yeah. That's why.
No, he was trained by the Mondavi family. He learned under Ken Brown at Byron Wines, and he really brings Mr. Mondavi's legacy, I think, is the people that he's left behind. And honestly, I think the industry owes him a big debt because wine was his life, and he was a little flamboyant in it, but he really lived it. And he thought that wine should be for the people. And so when we came up with Ancient Peaks brand, we talked a lot about what we were going to be and who we were trying to cater to. And Mike just came right out and said, we need to make wines that are great, that are ready to drink now, that people can afford.
I think especially in these times, while there's still a group of people that can afford the $100 or $150 bottle of wine, the majority of wine drinkers have had to step down a little bit in terms of what they can invest in their wine. And I think that the Central Coast has done a great job of responding to that, haven't they?
Yeah, I think that they really have. It's one of the things Paso Robles brings to the marketplace. A lot of people have come here. Some great winemakers have come here just because they couldn't afford ground in Napa or Sonoma.
There's a lot of cross-pollination between the two areas, right? The regions now.
There is.
Yeah, so it used to be they were at odds with one another, and now they're just working in tandem, I think. I don't know if it at odds is the right description, but there was certainly friendly competition.
Between us and Napa?
Yeah.
Napa's for auto parts.
Now, Stacy, you have a big job because your job inevitably is to take the Central Coast above Napa and Sonoma. How's that going?
Yeah, well, I have the best job in the county, really being able to showcase the assets of this county from a food and wine perspective to all the natural beauty that we have here. And so when we talk about, you know, other regions, and in particular in Paso Robles, you know, one of the things that's a little bit of a mystery is about half of the fruit here grown in the Paso Robles Appellation actually goes to other areas across California. And we like to sometimes say that we're the secret ingredient in some of those Napa wines up there.
I have no idea what percentage goes up there, but I certainly have heard that.
More than you think.
You know, we went to the Zinfest. And I think the thing that I was most impressed with was how much the Zinfandel wines have matured and have gotten away from that big scoop of grape jam flavor that we used to taste all the time. They're very adult and big and wonderful wines. And wow, what a difference just a few years have made. Everybody's shaking their head yeah on that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Zinfandel's definitely the heritage grape. And I think it was the first to really create acclaim here in San Luis Obispo County. And I think what we've seen over just the last probably 7 years or so is this idea of bringing structure back to Zinfandel, actually blending Zinfandel, which you've tasted a few blends today. There's a little bit of Zinfandel actually in the Oyster Ridge that you're tasting right now.
I have no idea what I'm tasting right now. It's like I've got so many glasses in front of me. I needed to put a little sticky note on each one of them at this point, but all good. You know, and that's the funny thing is I haven't had a bad wine since I got here, but that's probably because you've made sure that I didn't.
You know, we definitely like to tout the quality of wines here in San Luis Obispo County, and I think we're seeing quality just as a whole really increase over the times. And you don't have to take my word, but I'm sure if you talk to Neil and Carl and Ian, they can give you stories of how quality was, you know, but over the years, I'm sure 18 years in the restaurant business, Ian can really attribute the quality of wines that are coming from this area.
Now, Ian, what percentage of the wines on your wine list are coming from the Central Coast?
Let me think. Central Coast from Santa Barbara up?
Sure.
I think I only have one or two from out of the area. Frog's Leap, Sauvignon Blanc, and Trefethen, I think, are all that I have.
How did they make the cut?
When I was in Cambria with my restaurant there, the Trefethens, I bought their wine, and they were great support. I mean, they would send me people, and they would come.
So it's a loyalty thing, then?
Loyalty thing.
Okay.
And Frog's Leap is just, I love their Sauvignon Blanc. I've loved it since the day they made it. It's never left my wine list from Cambria to here. It's the one that just rides with me. I don't know.
But there are some great Sauvignon Blancs from this region. There are. Like Fiddlehead is an example, yeah.
No, there's some great ones.
And Ancient Peaks.
But you know, from day one, I've been a supporter of this area. When we opened this restaurant, that was our goal, is to do nothing, you know, but local wine. And we've always stayed with it.
Listen, thanks very much to everybody. Really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. And the biggest and most important message of all is this. No matter where you're listening to the show, look for Central Coast Wines. They're a great value. You will almost never go wrong. And it just doesn't get any better than that. And if you want to really take a great wine country tour that's not going to hit you in the pocketbook, where you can get great food, stay at great places, meet great people that are unpretentious, this is the place to go.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate that. And if you get really excited about this area, come visit us September 27th through the 30th for Sunset Savor the Central Coast, where all these wonderful things come under one roof at one event.
And we're going to actually broadcast live from there. That's the plan.
We love it.
But you'll have to invite us.
You're invited.
Well, as we wrapped up lunch, Ian McPhee collared me and said, "Hey, Dave, can you leave right now?" I said, "Where are we going?" He says, "You're going to meet Stan Hoffman. He's waiting for you right now." I couldn't believe it. Dr. Hoffman keeps a very low profile, but I was about to meet my hero and mentor. So it was goodbye for now to Carl Wittstrom of Ancient Peaks, Neil Roberts of Clavo Cellars and Roberts Vineyard Services, and our host, Stacy Jacobs, the executive director of the San Luis Obispo County Visitors and Convention Bureau. And it was off to the humble home of the man who first got me interested in wine. And you will hear that conversation next on Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson.
Have you had all you can take of politics, the economy, and celebrity rehab stories? That's why we created Grape Encounters Radio.
You know, for most people, wine is more than just a beverage. It's a lifestyle, motivating enthusiasts to decorate in wine themes, collect the latest gadgets, and coordinate the table setting with wine glasses and accessories that celebrate the season or occasion. It's no wonder that EpicStyle.com is the hottest spot on the internet to shop for wine lifestyle products. Nothing compares to EpicStyle.com's selection of clever, functional, fun, and beautiful products for wine lovers. EpicStyle.com.
This is the time of year when wine lovers start planning their pilgrimage to California's wine regions. The perfect inspiration and companion is the California Directory of Fine Wineries. Featured are profiles of dozens of Central Coast and Northern California wineries, along with hundreds of color images by renowned photographer Robert Holmes. Plus, highlights of tours, tastings, maps, and events. These beautiful directories make a fantastic gift. Be sure to like the California Directory of Fine Wineries Facebook fan page for wine country news and events each week. Click on the link at grapeencountersradio.com.
From time to time, you hear stories about everyday average people who, while cleaning the garage, come upon a painting that nobody liked. And what do you know? It turns out to be a Picasso. I wonder what it would be like to stumble upon a bottle of wine tucked away in a dark corner of your grandparents' pantry that was given to their parents as a wedding present. Rare wines can be very valuable indeed, and every bottle has an amazing story behind it. If you'd like to get up close and personal with some of the rarest wines on the planet, or better yet, if you'd like to take a stab at buying a bottle or two to treasure or even savor on some extraordinary special occasion, then you need to make your way to the St. Mark's 3rd Annual Cellar Classic, an auction of rare and fine wines on Saturday, July 28th in Los Olivos, California. You absolutely have to be there. July 28th in Los Olivos, California. For more information, click on the link at grapeencounters.com.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life.
This is David Wilson with Grape Encounters Radio, and now my very special and rare visit with Dr. Stan Hoffman. I think this is the most long-awaited interview in all the time that I have done this show. Many times you have heard me talk about why I got interested in wine, and it goes back to my college days. Up till that point in time, I had only consumed boxed wine and jugged wine. And I sampled a wine at the Top of Five restaurant at the Bonaventure Hotel
in downtown Los Angeles. I had my first encounter with a sommelier. I was served a bottle of wine from a place called Hoffman Mountain Ranch. I kept the cork from that wine drinking experience. I called the Hoffman Mountain Ranch and a nice gentleman answered the phone. We had a wonderful conversation that went on for about an hour. At the end of the conversation, I apologized because I'd never even asked the man his name, and it turned out that it was Dr. Stan Hoffman. He did something that is really extraordinary no matter who you are. Asked me if I'd like to load up my car with all of my friends who had enjoyed their wine and come up and learn a little bit about wine. It was an incredible experience, and I learned more about wine and life in that one day. I asked if anybody knew the whereabouts of Dr. Stan Hoffman, and I am now sitting in his living room. Can't believe that I'm actually talking to you, Dr. Hoffman.
Yes, you are speaking to him.
So you're really the guy, right?
Guilty as charged.
Do you remember this? I mean, vaguely at least?
Yes, I do.
You were really the first really formidable winemaking operation in this area, were you not?
Yes.
But you started out, you were a cardiologist. You were very well known, associated with the UCLA Medical Center, right?
Yes.
And then we're making wine at home, and then just decided to give it all up, come up here. What makes a man take that kind of gamble? And did your wife think you were nuts?
Foolish.
Just foolish. But you were successful from the start. That's the thing that's interesting to me.
Accidents happen.
I don't think that's the case. You had actually hired Mr. Chelichev to actually advise you, and I didn't know that at the time. Of course, I wouldn't have known who he was anyway. How did that come about? Because he really wasn't working in this area, was he?
We heard that he was available and that he was doing consultations as a winemaker. He was a foremost enologist of his era.
You had him join the team from the start then?
No, we built the winery in 1975, and he came on board in 1976 or 7.
So when were your wines originally really receiving recognition from the wine press? When did you start to really get noticed?
1976.
In 1976
we won an award in the UK for Chardonnay.
And what even possessed you to actually enter that contest in the UK? Because you were a completely unknown region, a completely unknown winery.
I think it happened because someone was going to England and they knew about this wine tasting and they just took a bottle of our Chardonnay and entered it into a blind tasting.
From that time on, a lot changed because of the fact that you opened up Hoffman Mountain Ranch. And I mean, how quickly did it grow?
I think the area became interesting when a lot of young winemakers and a lot new vineyards were planted with a lot of talent, those young people.
Was it because they saw what you were accomplishing and knew that it was possible to make really great wines that had to have made the difference?
Well, for an example, a Windward Winery owner, Mark, tasted a bottle of our 76 Pinot.
Yeah.
And that was a catalytic agent for him. He was looking for a place to start a vineyard, came here, started a very successful winery.
But the big story, I think, was the wine that I certainly remember, and I know, at least as I recall from that time, was something called Doctor's Reserve Cabernet Sauvignon. And that was a just off-the-charts wine.
Yes, it was. That won a lot of awards.
And that and your Zinfandel, I think, were big wines. And of course, this is maybe the greatest Zinfandel growing region in the world, is it not? I mean, it doesn't get any better than here.
Well, I would like to believe it is.
Oh, you're not convinced then?
I try to keep an open mind on subjects.
All right, well, let me ask you a question. You drink wine still pretty regularly, right?
Yes.
Do you drink wine from out of the region or do you stay domestic?
I drink wine from the region as well as other parts of California.
Okay, as long as it's good wine.
Yes.
So what do you think about the progress that's made here? I mean, you've been here for close to 40 years, right?
Yes.
You've seen it go from one or two or three wineries to hundreds now. Is it 200 now?
Yes.
That's got to be a great point of pride.
It's an interesting concept that an area like this would be so stimulated by the new wineries and vineyards, and to see our country become a wine-drinking nation, which we have lived to see this occur.
The original property for Hoffman Mountain Ranch was a pretty big property, right? How many acres was that?
It's 1,200. We had a ranch in Thousand Oaks, a 10-acre ranch. I wanted our children to see another side of life. We had horses and all sorts of animals.
What part of Thousand Oaks?
Which is now downtown Thousand Oaks.
Oh, no kidding. Okay. Yeah, because I grew up in Thousand Oaks, actually. Yeah, I sure did.
I had the 10 acres, and they started developing Thousand Oaks, and I had all sorts of offers. And one of my patients was a developer, and he said, don't sell it, trade. And I traded the 10 acres for 1,200 up here.
Oh, no. 10 acres for 1,200 acres. And now I've got to imagine that ground here is getting close to priceless. You know, if it'll grow grapes, it's got to be really valuable.
It is.
You made the biggest deal of a lifetime. 10 acres for 1,200 acres. That's incredible. And now it's been chopped up, and there are a number of different people that are operating on that property that used to be Hoffman Mountain Ranch.
Yes, that's correct.
Any favorite wines here?
I'll pass on that question.
Okay, you're politically correct. And I guess this is kind of an interesting question. Do you know if there are still some of the original Hoffman Mountain Ranch vines growing on that property? Do you keep track of that? Yeah,
yes.
Still there.
All the vineyards are still...
They're all the same. They haven't changed much.
No, they're just a lot larger plants.
I'm going to let you go at that, but I just want to thank you so much. You have changed my life as far as wine is concerned. I will just simply say this, that as I poked around the area and I asked different people about you, every time you mention the name Stan Hoffman, their eyes light up.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. It's such a pleasure to see you after all these years. I think it's 33 or 34 years, and this is just a dream come true to sit in your living room and just talk with you for just a second.
Refreshing for our old friendship.
And, you know, maybe, who knows, I'll come back and we'll grab a barrel and we'll stomp some grapes together, huh?
We can try.
As I was saying my goodbyes to Dr. and Mrs. Hoffman, I remarked to Dr. Hoffman, you know, the one regret that I have is that I never hung on to a bottle of Hoffman Mountain Ranch wine. He smiled, and he wandered off for a moment, slowly returning with a bottle cradled in his arms. He handed it to me. He said, you know, this is the first bottle of wine I ever made, a 1975 Pinot Noir. And anybody that's as big a fan of Hoffman Mountain Ranch wines as you are should have this. I said, Dr. Hoffman, I can't keep that bottle of wine. Well, I left with it. Oh, what a day that was.
I find myself in times of trouble. Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be.
You're listening to Grape Encounters Radio.
Speaking